Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to Brave New World programme. My name's John Harrison. We have a serious problem brewing in Europe with the anti-migrant issue. Perhaps we've unleashed a genie from a bottle, not so much with the migrants themselves, because economically and even numerically they do not currently pose any threat to Europe, but culturally they're perceived to present a huge threat. Consequently, there are a lot of anti-migrant emotions flying around Europe at the moment. Now, how long-lasting are these emotions? Could we be seeing a major shift away from multiculturalism in Europe? And could this be the final nail in the coffin for the EU itself? To help answer these questions, I welcome to the programme Dr. John Loughlin from the Institute of Democracy and Cooperation in Paris, and Dr. Salman Maybon, who is lecturer in international relations in the Department of Politics, Philosophy and Religion at the University of Lancaster in the UK. Welcome, both of you, to the programme.
Thank you.
First of all, do you think we're going to see infrastructural changes such as the introduction of special trains for Muslim women in trains in Germany? You know, this is not a major issue. It's protect the women themselves, but they could be seen as a sort of apartheid. Do you think we're going to see this sort of thing happening more frequently in Europe than anybody?
I think we will, actually. I mean, I'm certainly personally an opponent of immigration, and I'm very concerned by the current waves of immigration, not only, incidentally, by the waves of migration that we've been talking about in the media in the last few months, basically since the so-called crisis erupted last summer, a crisis which, of course, continues, but also because of the migration which has been going on into the major countries of Europe for many years now, but which has not been called a crisis. I'm referring to the annual influx, for example, into the United Kingdom of some 600,000 people a year over a period of many, many years. The figures for Germany, I believe, for net immigration are 400,000 or 500,000 a year. In Britain, the net figure is 300,000. The total figure of arrivals is 600,000. All these figures are gigantic. They're absolutely enormous. 600,000 net influx represents, for example, many multiples of the city of Bath in the west of England. So these are clearly very, very big changes which politicians should definitely address and, in my view, should try and stop. But to answer your question, is it going to lead to, as you said, compartments for women to be separated from Muslim men on European trains and so on?
Yeah.
I think the answer is yes, to the extent that in Germany there is a very schizophrenic attitude. The government has flip-flopped back and forth over the years on the issue of multiculturalism, for a long time tolerating it and even encouraging it, much as other northern European states have. Britain and the Netherlands come to mind, Scandinavia and so on. But occasionally backtracking. Chancellor Merkel a few years ago said that multiculturalism was dead and should be abandoned and so on. So they flip-flop back and forth. And, of course, the biggest flip-flop was on the migration issue itself, when Chancellor Merkel last year said, oh, well, they're all welcome and we'll manage to accommodate them. By doing so, violating, of course, Germany's own asylum laws, because Germany's asylum laws, like those of other countries, don't accord asylum to people who've transited through safe countries. So precisely, I think, in this incoherence that lies the danger of these, if you like, excessive measures being adopted. Not that I think is necessarily excessive, but of surprising measures being adopted, because having, of course, made the mistake of welcoming these people in and thereby, of course, encouraging further flows. So I think the whole thing is a mess, and there's a great lack of political leadership. There have been high levels of immigration already which have not been called a crisis. And
it is
what we call the crisis, which is the movement through Turkey and earlier through Libya. This adds to an already very protracted immigration problem.
Okay, Dr. Maybon, I mean, why is this an issue in the first place? I mean, why shouldn't we have 10% of our population be from foreign countries? What is the problem with that?
I think there are a number of things that we've got to tease out right now. A large percentage of the people that are traveling to Europe are fleeing from an incredibly brutal, increasingly intractable conflict. People that are caught between a number of violent actors that are using barbaric methods to suppress people. So, obviously, people leaving Syria are leaving their homes, they're leaving their finances, they're leaving their families, they're fleeing, often leaving their livelihood, traveling across perilous conditions, across water, across land, to try and find safe haven. They're fleeing for their lives. So normatively, we have an obligation to try and help people. If they're fleeing, we have this obligation as people. We'd expect other people to help us out. And if we look at net migration from 2015, it's 0.5% of the British population. It's a tiny fraction in terms of migration broadly. Now, I was at an event in Lancaster, and I was speaking to some people, just the general public came into an event that we were running. And I think this is where we really start to get to the bottom of the problem. And there was a chap that started talking to me, and he said there are millions of Syrian refugees in the UK at present.
Yeah.
And I pointed out that this number was actually somewhere in the thousands rather than the millions, and that this was a case of media sensationalizing a problem. And, of course, there is a problem. This does raise issues about control. It raises issues and questions about sovereignty and what a what a state can and should be allowed to do. But it's clearly being sensationalized. And this story that you flagged up about Germany having special trains for women, this is in response to, I think, a problem that's endemic across a number of different societies. They're trying to provide safe spaces for women to travel. There were reports coming out of London in the past couple of weeks about women who are being harassed on the tube. This isn't by Muslim men. This is by white British men who sense an opportunity to engage in whatever kind of perverted action they want to. So I think that this move towards getting women-only carriages on trains is important. It is a desire to create safer spaces for women. And obviously it's coming on the back of certain events in Germany that are in some way related to what's happened with migration.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should view it in isolation. This isn't just a problem in Germany. This is a problem in London. It's a problem in Japan. It's a problem elsewhere. It's a problem that many people are facing, and it's to do with gender dynamics, I guess.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that, Dr. Mayburn. I think that your point of view is diametrically opposed to that of Dr. Lachlan, but that's okay. That's what this programme is all about. Let's take a short break here.
Brave New World.
Hi there, welcome back to Brave New World programme. Today we're having a raucous programme on the subject of will the migration crisis break up the EU? I'm talking to Dr. John Lachlan from the Institute of Democracy and Cooperation in Paris and Dr. Simon Maybon, who is a lecturer in international relations in the Department of Politics, Philosophy and Religion at Lancaster University. Looking at the situation from afar, because I'm sitting in a studio right now in Moscow, just a few thousand kilometres away from Europe, what I'm seeing is that it is a wonderful sort of manna from heaven for those political parties and those politicians who wish to actually break up the EU. Perhaps they don't say that, but certainly in the UK, in UKIP, it certainly would seem to play into the favour of Farage's camp. I mean, do you think that this is all happening, it's not just by chance? We're seeing the rise of these far-right parties. We're seeing the possibility of the EU breaking up. Do you think it's all part of the same thing? I'd like to hear your opinion, Dr. Lachlan, on this.
Well, I'm happy to give it to you, but I would also like to respond to what was just said.
All right.
I completely disagree with Simon Maybon that we have a duty to help refugees. Or rather, I agree that we have a duty to help refugees, but I deny that the people crossing into Europe now are refugees. Refugees, as I'm sure he knows, are dealt with by the United Nations Convention on Refugees and by national legislation on refugees. And as I said in the answer to the first question, most countries have laws on refugees which are designed to provide for refugees, that's to say for people who are fleeing for their lives. Once they've left Syria, where the war is, if indeed they come from there, then they are at safety in Turkey, and they should remain in Turkey. That's what the law says. That's what German law says. It's what British law says. It's what the UN Convention says. What we're dealing with is not an asylum issue, but instead a migration issue.
I take your point entirely, but this is an issue of collective responsibility. Turkey has taken in millions of refugees from Syria. Lebanon has taken in millions of refugees from Syria. Iraq, which has got its own serious problems, has taken in hundreds of thousands of people. The population of Lebanon is about 4.2 or 3 million. It's now taken in over 1.7 million people from Syria. That's almost 50% of its population has been has joined from Syria. We have a collective responsibility to help people.
Yeah, and yes, apart from the fact that these laws are all made by human beings, you know, the United Nations this, the EU's this. I mean, these are ordinary people like you and me who get together and make the laws.
We can change the laws
as well.
Yes, we can change the laws, but it's intellectually, I think, a mistake to deal with an asylum and refugee issue in terms of migration. These are separate issues. They need to be dealt with separately. There are structures and laws in place to deal with refugees and to deal with asylum, and that's one issue. What we're talking about now is migration, mass migration. And this is my second point of disagreement. It's not media sensationalism. That's just shooting the messenger. And to link it with the rise of right-wing parties, I'm afraid I think is rather trivial. When you have 10,000 people arriving every day in Europe, if indeed the figures are that high, and they certainly were before the winter lull at the end of last year, and they may well have picked up again, when you have many, many thousands of people arriving every day in Europe, you're talking about a population movement going way above 1 million, possibly as high as 3 million. If you had 10,000 a day coming into Germany, that would be 3.6 million people. Now, nobody can pretend, and please let's not pretend on this program, because if we are going to pretend, then there's no point even having a discussion, that a movement of many millions of people into Europe is not a subject worth discussing, or that it's somehow being sensationalized by the media. No, it is a real phenomenon, and it needs to be discussed and dealt with politically.
OK. Dr. Maybourne, if you'd like to respond to that quickly, please.
Sure. There are political issues. It does raise a number of serious political questions about how on earth a collective organisation like the EU should respond to this. But it should respond collectively. The onus shouldn't be placed on one or two different states. And the point about media sensationalisation is the sense that the British press is stressing that there are swarms of people coming into the UK. Now, that just plainly is wrong. And that is having an impact on the rise of far-right parties. It's having a rise on right-wing agendas. It's having a serious impact.
Why is that wrong? I'm sorry, why is that wrong? There are 600,000 annual people arriving in Britain every year, 600,000 a year. Why is it wrong to say that
just a minute, you're saying that there are 600,000 people arriving in the UK every year. Is that correct,
every
Dr. Maybourne?
Every year, 300,000 leaving, which makes a net immigration of 300,000. But when you have 600,000 arriving every year, these figures are not beyond dispute. They're national statistic figures.
It's true, they are.
How can you say that that is not true when you have massive net immigration?
No, but 600,000 from where?
Many towns in
it's
Britain.
Not 600,000 people from Syria, is it? It's 600,000 people
in
total.
That. I said a net
no, but you associated one figure with the other.
600,000 every year over a period of nearly a decade, as far as I know. That's 6 million people.
Dr. Maybourne.
Yeah, and we do have to separate out these figures. We have to separate out the migration figures and the conflation of that with problems in Syria and the Middle East. And if you look at the language used by David Cameron earlier, halfway through last year, we talked about a migrant swarm. He was clearly referring to people travelling from...
You said that this migration wasn't happening, Dr. Maybourne. You said it was not true that people were coming into Britain. It is true that they're coming into Britain. How can you say
that there wasn't a swarm of people coming from Syria and the Middle East? I said that this was a media sensationalization. And this is where I'm quoting David Cameron, who says that there is a migrant swarm of people coming from Syria and the Middle East fleeing war. Mm-hmm. Okay? That plainly is not true. That is a case of a right-wing politician sensationalizing a serious issue, trivializing an issue where people are fleeing war. They're fleeing the barrel bombs of their own government.
OK, I think that both of your positions have now become very clear. I'd like to finish, because we have no more time. Before I finish, I would like to ask both of you one more question, and I'd like to answer rather quickly, please. Is this going to help those who would like to see the breakup of the EU, the situation, or not? I'd like to start with you, please, Dr. Maybourne.
Yeah, I think that any point of crisis offers an opportunity to be used by a range of different actors for their own particular ends. And obviously the nature of the crisis provides different types of people with different types of opportunities. And clearly this is an opportunity for those people that think that there is a clear security threat to Europe to give a serious argument for wanting to break up the organisation. Now, that negates 50-odd years of history of Europe providing peace, security and economic prosperity. Now, there are some serious challenges right now that we should not ignore. And we should have an open political discussion about what to do about resolving this economic crisis, security crisis, and the crisis about the flow of people. But that does not mean that we immediately want to break it up, because we've got 50 years of history. We've prevented serious conflicts between major European powers. There is a very strong, very good organization here, and it must be allowed to continue.
Thank you very much. Dr. Lockton, final word, please.
Well, we're not going to have a serious discussion by denying self-evident facts. And as for people profiting from a crisis and turning it to their own ends, the same is true of the European elites themselves. They have said that this crisis, just as they say for previous crises, and indeed as you have said, Dr. Maybourne, emphasizes the need for more Europe. They generally try to profit from these crises by centralizing power in Europe even further. So to say that the right-wing parties are somehow profiting from this or making, hay while the sun shines is just to shoot the messenger.
Our job is to produce a programme that you listeners will find interesting and present different points of view. At least I hope we're doing that. You decide. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. John Loughlin from the Institute of Democracy and Cooperation in Paris, and Dr. Simon Mayburn, who's lecturer in international relations in the Department of Politics, Philosophy and Religion at the University of Lancaster in the UK. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you.